Welcome to the Closing Market Report. It's April the 17th, 2007. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities. He's in Newmarket, Indiana. Dave Dickey, of course, will be along with all the agricultural news for the day. And then a bit later in the program, we'll bring you U of I Extension's Jim Morrison. He has some advice for those worried about freeze damage to alfalfa. And don't forget that just after the bottom of the hour, meteorologist Don Day will join us for a complete look at the agricultural weather forecast. So stay with us, won't you, for this Tuesday edition of WILL AM 580's Closing Market Report.
Hi, this is AM 580 Agricultural Director Dave Dickey. Want to review something you heard on the Closing Market Report? Then AM 580 Agricultural Podcasts are for you. Get all our ag programming delivered daily to your computer. Go to WILLAG.org and click on the red podcast link in the right navigation window. Follow the simple instructions and you will never miss a Closing Market Report again. You can also subscribe to the pre-opening and opening market reports and our flagship show, Commodity Week. AM 580 Agricultural Podcasts. It's your marketing advantage.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn after corn specialists. Information on the web at agrigold.com or by contacting Regional Sales Manager Scott Williamson at 217-778-6485 for a representative nearest you.
In Chicago on this Tuesday afternoon, futures finished the day like this. The May wheat at 477.5, up 2.25 today. July futures at 490.75. They were up 2.5. And September contract up 2 cents at $4.99.5. May corn futures at 353.25, down 11 cents. July down 10.75 at 365.25. And December futures at $3.79.5 are off 10.75 for the day. May soybeans at 7.24, down 12 cents. July off 12 at 7.41.25. November beans at 7.70.5 are down 12 cents. May bean meal at 197.80, down $1.70. May bean oil at 31.87. They were off 91 for the day. From the Mercantile Exchange on this Tuesday, 107.85 for the nearby feeder cattle. The April contract up 12.5 cents. The live cattle at 97.65 in the April, up 35, and June live cattle at 93.27.5 were 37.5 higher. May lean hog futures, $76.40 a hundredweight. They were down 25 cents. From the outside markets, crude oil trading the nearby May contract at $63.15 a barrel, down 46 cents at this hour. The June down $1.27 at $64.40. The Dow Jones Industrial Average now stands at 12,777. It's off just about 57 points at this hour.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Joining us now to take a look at what happened at the Chicago Board of Trade and the Mercantile Exchange is Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities out of Newmarket, Indiana. Good afternoon to you, Wayne.
Well, good afternoon, Todd. It's a beautiful day over here today, but, you know, we're looking at some of the temperatures maybe dropping down again tonight like they did last night, and possibility of a little rain tomorrow.
Well, it'll keep the soil temperatures cold. I talked to the folks in Indiana at the statistician's office, and just like Illinois and Iowa, they still are at a big zero, a goose egg for the number of planted acres the statisticians are seeing around the states. That doesn't mean there hadn't been anything planted, but not enough to really register at this point. Heard anybody that's put anything in the ground yet?
You know, we around our area, we've just been way too wet, Todd. You know, so no, we've got, I think one guy took his planter out and planted 9 acres when he's got a new planter that we knew around here. But as far as any volume of planting in our area, it just hasn't happened yet.
Now, we know for a fact that, and most people will know this as well, that some of the bigger rigs have been working in parts of in the Springfield area and south of Springfield. That the Dowsons, of course, have been in the field. That was early on, but they probably got rained out. It'll be interesting to see how quickly farmers in Illinois get into the field. I talked to my family. They seem to think that they might be in by Thursday. I bet there's some discussion among my brothers whether it's today or Thursday. I haven't talked to them yet. Here in Champaign County, usually about 10 days behind them. That looks just about the way things will roll out this year. And in Chicago, they're a dime lower for the corn and down 12 cents for the beans today.
Yeah, they were, Todd. There come a new newswire or a news article on the Dow Jones Industrial Newswire where Daryl Good right over there in Champaign was telling us that he thought the beans were overpriced fundamentally by about 60 cents That, along with breaking through the 200-day moving average, just kept pressure on the beans all day. Most of the trade happened in the electronic trade, not as much in the pit. But there just wasn't a lot of buy orders in there after that news article popped out.
That tells you probably that it was the index funds that were impacted more than anything else, I suppose. If you look at the electronic trade or just guys that are day trading from New York and San Francisco and L.A.?
You know, that's the thing about what happens on there. We don't know for sure. We think it was fund activity, not necessarily the index funds, but, you know, we can't tell. Your regular brokers can't look out and see who's doing the stuff, and it's very confusing to us and harder to figure out what is going on.
Well, it makes it tough for you to see on the day-to-day what's been happening, but you can watch the charts, and another bad day in Chicago if you look at it technically.
Technically, it was not a good day for anything. You know, and like I say, the beans is where most of the selling come in to start with, and sort of pulled the corn on down with it. You know, as we looked at the noon forecast, and not much change in things, and also a little cooler temperatures coming in. Talk of tractors stuck in DeKalb County, Illinois, yesterday trying to put anhydrous. You know, other people doing that way. We have been talking to some of our Kentucky people, and you know, we're talking down there, and they are replanting most all of their corn. They are having trouble. They're getting back in doing that, and they are tearing up the majority of their wheat. That's down in the Bowling Green area, Todd.
Hey, you know, if because you sell crop insurance as well as being a broker, why don't you tell me a little bit? Did you stop and figure out for most of the producers that you sold to what their acreage income was guaranteed at?
Oh, yeah. Most of them that were taking the CRC insurance, basically they were in the plus $500 revenue assurance.
$590, $600, something like that, $570? Is that right?
Depending on which level, if they wanted to pay up to the 85% level, a lot of them were in the $560 to $570 bracket, yes.
Yeah, so let me take that up just a bit. So if you went at the 85% level, would you be satisfied at this point, looking at a market that has turned lower, would you be satisfied at this point if you had 30% on for corn and soybean sales?
Sure, because basically there's two or three things going on. You know, will the corn... You know, we don't know the weather past next week, and next week is looking very wet. If I have that sort of guarantee, I'm definitely going into May 20th and still planting corn.
And you've got to put on, is what it amounts to, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so you're protected in some form. I'm just wondering how much worry there might be in the countryside, and my guess is that those guys are that are at that 85% level won't be too terribly worried. If they're below that, they might be a little more itchy, I would think.
A farmer isn't going to sit back and think he's going to just make money on insurance here, Todd. We all want to get the crop out. We all want to get it planted. We all love to harvest bushels. So, you know, the first and foremost is the nervous level is going to be very, very high.
Yeah, well,
they're going to want to get it out there, and they're going to want to make their living that way. They're just going to be able to sleep a little bit better knowing they got that good insurance backing them up.
Well, I guess my point was not that, but rather that their protection is on and that they might not be needing to be so itchy about making sales on the downside.
Oh, no, we don't, along with the good insurance right here, we're not saying that you should push sales on the downside here. I agree with you wholeheartedly. I guess I misunderstood your question.
That's okay.
But I think that, no, they do have 85% of their crop. Basically, they do have a bottom put on it because after it drops 15%, basically, you know, the insurance is going to pick up and take over there.
All right, anything else we need to take up before I let you go? Maybe a quick look at the livestock?
The livestock, of course, we're looking for the cattle on feed report coming up here at the end of the week and look for a little smaller numbers over there.
We appreciate you being with us.
Thank you, Todd.
Thanks much, and that is Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities out of New Market, Indiana, joins us here on the Closing Market Report on Tuesday afternoons.
Agricultural information is made possible with support from ADM. With every kernel, every grain, every seed, ADM sees possibilities to improve everyday life. ADM, resourceful by nature.
Taking a look at the weather forecast from our own Ed Keiser, he says tonight across the two-state region, it'll be partly to mostly cloudy, a few widely scattered sprinkles. Lows from 35 in northeastern Indiana to 49 in the south. Tomorrow, he says, in northwestern Illinois, partly to mostly sunny. Elsewhere, a mix of clouds, some sunshine, a few scattered showers and sprinkles. Highs from 45 near Lake Michigan to 67 in the south. Winds up to 10 to 20 miles an hour. The extended forecast, dry weather expected Thursday through Saturday, allowing for some field work to get underway. Scattered showers and thunderstorms may arrive, though, in Illinois and western Indiana on Sunday and elsewhere in Indiana Sunday evening. Dave Dickey's here now. He'll take a complete look at today's agricultural weather.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
USDA Secretary Mike Johanns yesterday warned lawmakers that at the moment there is no money for agricultural reserve funds. The House has established a $20 billion reserve fund for agriculture. The Senate version of the bill calls for $15 billion. Johanns says the Senate and House has created 50 reserve funds altogether for programs as wide-ranging as veterans' health care, the middle income tax relief. Johanns suggested such funds are irresponsible, noting that the Bush Farm Bill proposal, which contains no reserve fund, is realistic. Johanns added he opposes a permanent disaster title if such a bill would need $3 to $5 billion in annual funding. ConocoPhillips and Tyson Foods say they want to make diesel fuel from animal fat. The two companies announced an agreement yesterday in which Tyson will send beef, pork, and chicken fat from a food processing plant in Texas to a nearby ConocoPhillips refinery. The oil company will use the same chemical process that turns crude oil into motor fuel, and it will be distributed through existing pipelines. The fuel still needs EPA approval. The companies hope to ramp up production over 18 months to an annual production of 175 million gallons. The U.S. Supreme Court yesterday declined to hear a case against a company that was sued by Monsanto for saving seed from one harvest and planting them the following season. A federal appeals court in Washington last August ruled the practice illegal as it violated Monsanto's licensing requirements. Cargill yesterday said third quarter earnings rose 49% on improving operations and tax savings. Cargill said it earned $553 million during the quarter that ended in February, up from $370 million a year ago for the same period. The Department of Energy says it will fund a joint project between Purdue University and Archer Daniels Midland to use yeast fermentation to turn cellulosic materials into ethanol. The study is focused on commercializing the process by developing improved fermentation organisms. And a national survey of grocery store prices conducted by Farm Bureau showed that retail food prices at the supermarket increased slightly in the first quarter of 2007. The informal survey shows the total cost of 16 basic grocery items in the first quarter of 2007 was $41.34, up about 4%. Or $1.65 from the fourth quarter of 2006. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey, of course, your Director of Agricultural Programming at the WILL radio stations. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week, reminding you to visit our website at willag.org. That's willag.org. Well, up next, you know, the cold temperatures have prompted more than a few questions about the degree of injury to alfalfa across the Midwest. Jim Morrison has some advice. Temperatures across the Midwest dipped into the deep freeze early in April. The alfalfa crop suffered and might look really bad at the moment, but University of Illinois Extension Crop Systems team educator Jim Morrison from Rockford cautions farmers not to panic too early in the recovery process.
One of the real keys is to give this alfalfa a chance to recover and to see what happens. It's much like, you know, evaluating a cornfield after you know, after a frost or after some weather phenomenon, we just need to see how the plant's going to respond.
Given that, extension specialists across the Midwest do have some advice for producers with damaged alfalfa fields. They say with spring seedlings, new plants are very cold tolerant at emergence. At the second trifoliate leaf stage and older, the plant is more susceptible to cold temperatures and may be killed by 4 hours or more at 26 degrees or less. If alfalfa was seeded with a companion crop, damage from exposure to cold temperatures may be lessened as a result of the protection provided by the cover crop, as temperature at the soil surface is warmer than that at the top of the canopy. Wait a few days and then check the seedlings for signs of new growth or new tissue. On established stands, a light frost will cause the top growth to look wilted if there is only leaf damage and the stem tip is recovering. The advice is to harvest the alfalfa as normally planned. With colder temps, something in the teens or low 20s, buds and crowns of established plants can be seriously injured, says Jim Morrison. In this case, it's best to wait 7 days or so to see if the cold temps have caused any permanent damage to the alfalfa.
After those that delay in time that I mentioned earlier, go out, dig some plants, look at the condition of that crown, split that crown, see if it is, hopefully, it is white and firm on the inside. That will indicate that the crown is still alive and functioning. Also, check part of the taproot, maybe the top 3 inches or so of the taproot. Split that taproot lengthwise and see what the condition of that taproot is also in on the inside. But again, a firm condition, a firm texture, white color, creamy white color indicates a healthy plant. If that crown or top of that tap root is brown, if it's watery, if it's mushy, that's not a good sign, and that plant will probably not survive.
Again, healthy tap roots and crowns are creamy white and firm, while freeze-damaged ones will be watery brown and soft. Pay particular attention to the condition of the upper 1 to 2 inches of the tap root. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason. Listening to the Closing Market Report, this is WILL AM 580. Well, USDA Monday released a much-anticipated crop progress report. It shows as of April the 15th, 10% of the nation's winter wheat crop had headed. And you might think that would be very bad news given the very, very, very cold temperatures recently. Although, the crop conditions report showed the good and excellent categories dropped from just 64% combined last week to 54% this week. Even so, that's way better than last year when just 39% of the crop measured up to those good and excellent categories. Nationwide, 4% of the corn crop is now said to be in the ground. That's about half the usual pace. We checked in with Indiana this morning. They say there isn't anything to report, and no corn has been planted there. Likewise, that's the case in Illinois and Iowa. But like Nebraska, the statisticians there felt compelled to tell us just a little more. We have their comments.
This is Brad Schwab with the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service, Illinois Field Office, reporting on crop progress and conditions for the week ending April 15th. Cold and wet was the weather theme last week, with temperatures averaging 10 degrees below normal across the state. Statewide, precipitation averaged 1.2 inches, 13 one-hundredths above the weekly average. There was just a little over 1 day suitable for field work, keeping most planters parked for another week. Topsoil moisture was rated at 1% short, 60% adequate, and 39% surplus, virtually unchanged from the previous week. Corn planting progress, at less than 1%, continues to trail last year and the 5-year average due to the cold, wet conditions. Last year, 7% was in the ground by this date, and 14% is the 5-year average. Oats planted is at 18% compared to 66% for 2006 and 72% for the 5-year average. The soft red winter wheat condition declined from a week earlier and was rated as 8% very poor, 24% poor, 40% fair, 25% good, and 3% excellent. For the second week in a row, reports indicate that the sub-freezing temperatures may have significantly impacted the wheat crop and may have also impacted fruit and vineyard crops, but at this time it is still too early to judge the extent of the damage. Alfalfa was rated in mostly fair condition, and pastures were rated fair to mostly good. Other farm activities last week included preparing equipment for planting, applying fertilizer when it wasn't too wet or cold, and tending to livestock. This has been Brad Schwab with the Illinois Field Office of the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service in Springfield.
This is Joe Prusaki, State Director from USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service, Iowa Field Office, with the weekly crops and weather report for the week ending April 15, 2007. The past week brought unseasonably cold weather to Iowa. Statewide temperatures averaged 8.4 degrees below normal for the week. The statewide average precipitation was 0.833 inches or slightly less than the weekly normal of 0.88 inches. Soil temperatures as of Sunday were averaging in the mid-40s statewide. Even though some parts of Iowa received several inches of snow during the middle of the week, the end of the week provided promising field work conditions. Many fields are still wet throughout the state, and ground temperatures are too low for planting. Grain movement was slowed due to wet and muddy roadways. There were 0.9 days suitable for field work compared to 4.3 days last year at this time. Topsoil moisture rated 1% very short or short, 65% adequate, and 34% surplus across the state. Subsoil moisture rated 3% very short or short, 71% adequate, and 26% surplus. Post-planted were 16% complete, 7 days behind last year's 50%, and nearly 2 weeks behind the five-year average of 67%. No significant corn planting was reported in the state. There's concern for the first cutting of alfalfa due to frost damage last week. Fertilizer application at 62% was 7 percentage points below last year and 7 percentage points below the five-year average. This has been Joe Prusaki with USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service, Des Moines, Iowa, with the weekly crop weather report for the week ending April 15, 2007.
This is Steve Parn reporting Nebraska's weekly crop weather report for the week ending April 15, 2007. Another cold, wet week kept anxious producers out of the field. Temperatures averaged 8 degrees below normal as the entire state saw below freezing numbers for the second week in a row. Wheat conditions declined from last week due to more freezing temperatures and rated 47% good or excellent, now below last year's 54%. Wheat jointed was at 15%, ahead of last year's 11 and the average of 9. Alfalfa conditions also declined from last week and rated 28% good or excellent, well below last year's 70%. Oats planted increased to 43%, well behind last year's 66 and 68 average. Oats emerged was at 15%, ahead of last year's 12, but behind the 19 average. Corn planting was underway mainly in the west, but limited to 1% statewide. This is behind last year and the 5-year average of 3. Pasture and range conditions rated 38% good or excellent, below last year's 60%. This has been Steve Parn of the USDA's NAS Nebraska Field Office in Lincoln.
In about 2 minutes, I'll talk with agricultural meteorologist Don Day about the weather. You're listening to AM 580. This is WILL. I'm Todd Gleason. Your regional newscast is next.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible in part by a grant from Risk Management Commodities, with offices in Chalmers and Lafayette, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities provides commodities analysis and recommendations for business and agriculture throughout East Central Illinois and Western Indiana. For information, call 866-837-9027.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Tom Rogers. Polls have been generally quiet in Champaign County today as a few voters turn out for local elections. Champaign County Clerk Mark Sheldon says the lone exception in his county so far is Mahomet, where school board races and a referendum on removing the village's dry status are generating a bit more interest. The polls are open until 7 o'clock tonight. An Illinois healthcare group says consumers would save billions of dollars under the health plan being pushed by Governor Rob Blagojevich. A study done for the Campaign for Better Healthcare concludes that Illinois would see about $2 in savings for every dollar spent on the Blagojevich plan. The study found that between now and the year 2011, health costs would be about $15.5 billion lower than if the state does nothing. The savings would come from preventing expensive illnesses, cutting administrative costs, and reducing the amount that people and businesses pay to cover people without insurance. The governor wants to create two new business taxes to pay for his plan. Another new study says that tax increase would give Illinois the ninth highest tax burden in the country, up from 22nd now. Illinois Congressman Luis Gutierrez believes a compromise bill on immigration reform could get the support of enough Republicans to pass. The issue has divided Congress for several years, but Gutierrez's bill includes an unusual provision that requires immigrants to exit the country and then enter again to gain legal residency. Two Purdue graduates are among those who were killed in yesterday's shootings at Virginia Tech. School officials identify them as civil and environmental engineering professor G.V. Loganathan and engineering science and mathematics professor Kevin Granada. A judge has ordered a man from Quincy held on $5 million bond in the fire deaths of five children. 27-year-old Zachary Meeks is charged with three counts of murder for each of the five victims from Sunday's house fire. He's also charged with aggravated arson. More shipments of chemical waste are on the way to a plant in Texas from the destruction of deadly VX nerve agent in Indiana. The first four trucks from the Newport Chemical Depot arrived in Port Arthur, Texas, early this morning. About 2 million gallons of the waste must be incinerated. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.
Today's broadcast is made possible with support from First Midwest Bank, serving the banking needs of Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Bob Bastifer in Danville at 217-477-6016. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. This is WILL Urbana. I'm Todd Gleason. We're joined now to take a look at the agricultural weather forecast by Don Day of Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. Good afternoon to you, Don.
Good afternoon.
Well, first I have to explain something very quickly that we mentioned a bit earlier. I talked about my brothers and the possibility that they'd be moving. I made a quick phone call. They're in Logan County near Springfield and Lincoln in Illinois, right in the dead center of the state. Spraying today, expect to be in the field and planting tomorrow. The part that I need to explain is that I suggested they were usually 7 to 10 days ahead of the folks in Champaign County. That's not because they're just faster farmers. That's because the weather always allows that to happen. I've been watching it for the better part of three decades at this point, since 83, 84. And it seems that the wet weather just comes up right along the Illinois-Indiana border and drops here in Champaign County a lot more often than it does in Springfield. And they get in the field a little earlier than the rest of the crew does on the east central Illinois part of the state. So they're in the field, I suspect, in about 8 days. As long as it doesn't rain, folks here in Champaign County will be in the field. Probably less than that if they can move. And Don Day's here to tell us whether that'll be the case or not. So what's your prognosis?
Well, a little bit of both. We do see precipitation increasing again across the Corn Belt Midwest, especially as we get past the weekend and into early next week. Now, in the short term, the trend is going to be a little bit more favorable, but we have a very active pattern in the Pacific right now, and there's going to be more storms that will be coming off the Pacific coast. At first, they're going to get stalled out over the High Plains, the Rockies, and the Northern Plains states, but as we get past Sunday and into Monday and Tuesday next week and then beyond, it looks to be a more wet weather pattern. So the short term, drier. Long term, it gets wet again.
And where will that likely drop in at, do you think?
I would right now favor the northern and the western areas of the Corn Belt, but as we get towards the middle of next week, it's going to cover most of the Corn Belt, and it could be quite a bit of wet weather coming in next week. So if anyone can take advantage of this relative dry trend that we've got right now, it'll pay dividends down the road.
And when you say relatively wet, are we talking an inch, 2 inches?
Well, hard to say this far out, but I could certainly see the possibility that with this wetter pattern next week that the 1-2 inch rains are certainly going to be a good possibility.
And I see we've got tomorrow for some light winds, 10 to 20 miles an hour. Anything heavier than that?
Doesn't look like it. We will have a system that's going to be going across the Gulf Coast states and the southern plains that may kick up the wind a little bit in some of the southern areas of the Corn Belt, but nothing that'll be too bad.
It's, 71 degrees here outside of the studios today on Friends Plaza. Not too bad for warming up and drying out. Can we expect that to continue at least?
Yes, we will. In fact, temperatures are going to be pretty warm until we get into that wet weather pattern towards the middle of next week.
Okay, and then if you look around the globe, any place we need to talk about?
Well, right now, Western Europe is going to be a little bit on the warm and dry side. Eastern Europe and Russia are going to see some decent spring moisture. Same could be said for China. And also, same could be said for some areas of southern Asia where the precipitation is going to be not bad.
All right. We appreciate you being with us.
Okay, thank you, sir.
Yep, Don Day is with Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report on Tuesday afternoons. Don't forget, you can always pick up today's weather forecast along with the Closing Market Report, the pre-opening and the opening market report right there on our website. And you can subscribe to our newsletter if you'd like. It's all at willag.org. That's willag.org. Be safe out there. If you start to work long hours, take some naps in the afternoon. It'll keep you in the field and keep you healthy and keep all your digits around as well. I'm Todd Gleason. I'm not kidding. I'm Todd Gleason. You have a good afternoon.